Happy Wednesday. It's a Wolves midweek edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday installment of the show. We got a couple of local folks here in the Hub City for today's program. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, some Northern State women's basketball talk as Morgan Fiedler. She'll be joining us live in studio. Looking forward to that discussion with her. And then coming up here in the next 15 minutes on the program, a phone conversation with one of the best to ever do it. And that's a tease. That's the biggest tease perhaps that you'll ever get. See, if you sign up for the Hub City Radio text message alerts, you'll know who we're talking to.
Really?
See, that's the way it works. That's the way it works out. That's one heck of a tease, I think, for sure. But I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
A-OK?
Doing A-OK. I'm doing, as George Carlin would say, moderately neato, whatever that means. But no, I'm doing OK. Busy night last night on the high school hardwood. All but one of the Aberdeen squads were in action there last night. Had some college action there as well. So a very, very busy night for sure. And the Lakota Nation Invitational, that starts up out west today. And we've got ourselves a very busy Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. So we're full bore. I mean, we're going like 100 miles an hour right here and right now this week, certainly.
Yeah, the basketball schedule really got into full swing for the first time, it feels like, this basketball season. There was a little tease there with a couple matchups over the weekend, but I think this was the first real Tuesday big slate of games.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we'll get into this here as a part of the jump. We'll keep it on the local side of things here today. But anything in particular jump off the page to you from last night for the girls or boys or
both?
Well,
we were talking a little bit about it off the air, but Groton defeating Sisseton, that one surprised me a little bit. Sisseton has had Groton's number. Now, the games have been pretty close, but yeah, I saw that pretty low-scoring game, and Sisseton, like I said, they've been able to beat Groton a good bit here the last couple of years. So to see that, they finally get a win there on their own floor, that surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, certainly popped off the page to me when I was putting that together last night. I said, oh, okay, 48-45, and we'll certainly talk about that here as well. Eric Klein, he'll be joining us in about 10 to 15 minutes on the show. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't contain myself. Yes, one of the best to ever do it for Northern State and the NSIC. NSU Hall of Famer from 2010, NSIC Hall of Famer from 2012. And, of course, this upcoming weekend, the Wolves will be celebrating some of those early 90s basketball teams. And I thought to myself, hey, who better than one of the best guys to ever do it for NSU is Eric Klein. He'll be joining us here in about 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, pretty cool. They should put jersey rafters kind of like they do in the NFL or like in other arenas. That would be kind of cool, huh?
I don't think they do retired numbers at NSU.
No, I don't think they do, but I was just saying, hey, could you imagine like seeing the retired numbers?
Oh,
like,
for sure.
That'd be kind of cool.
No, I'm right there with you. I'm trying to think if they do that or not, and I could be wrong on that, but I don't think they do.
Okay.
But, he wore 42 back in the day.
Okay.
Kind of interesting.
That's an odd number.
When you think of guys with, you know, lots of points in their name, points to their resume, you think of like a 23 or 21 or maybe like 10. Maybe, 42 is kind of different.
Maybe he was a big James Worthy fan. He wore 42.
Could be. You could ask him.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be a good question.
Very much indeed. Looking forward to that discussion with one Eric Klein coming up here in about 10 minutes.
Mr. Unlimited.
Show. With that guy, geez, Mr. Unlimited. He's all over the broadcast here. He's just stepping on my toes.
I hope my Ravens beat Mr. Unlimited on Saturday. I really do.
Three games this Saturday?
Two games.
Okay. Maybe it's
Chiefs and Texans. And then the Ravens play at 4:30, and then I think I think NBC's doing two games this weekend.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking next Saturday is the triple header, because I think there's a three-game deal out there.
Maybe there is. I know there's two for sure.
No, I got to look. All right, coming up on Saturday, yeah, I see just one, and I think it's week 17. There's three games. I could be wrong on that one. Let's see. Broncos, Bengals. God, why is this all out of whack? Stupid. All right, I'll figure it out later. It's not important right now. Anyways, let's take a look at some of the high school action from last night on the girls' side of things. Starting up with Aberdeen Roncalli, their lid lifter got underway last night out west in Mobridge, taking on the Tigers of Mobridge Pollock. And the girls would fall 5 points shy. Mobridge with a 50-45 victory. Blake Thompson with 17 points to lead the charge there for the Tigers. Charlie Henderson, great volleyball player. She had added a baker's dozen. Claire Crawford of Aberdeen Roncalli, great golfer. She had set 17 points for the Cavaliers. Ava Hansen, Northern State commit. She added 14. So a pretty well-played game looked like, but Mobridge Pollock just 5 points better there.
Yeah, they got off to a good start. I watched a good bit of this game, and you were talking last week about games and starting times. That was a pretty good example of that last night. This game didn't start till about 6:50 last night.
Wow.
So that was probably a pretty long night for Scotty out there in Mobridge. But, yeah, they battled back. They had a chance there at the end, but Mobridge, just a quick start. They were unable to overcome that. Really nice job from Coach Larson's team battling back, but just not enough there last night.
By the way, triple header is next week.
Okay.
I had to look that up. I had to. Patriots, Chargers, Bengals host the Broncos, and the Rams host the Arizona Cardinals.
That's an okay slate.
December 28th, yeah. All right, more high school girls basketball from yesterday. Stacey Asarda drops in 20. Warner Big over Aberdeen Christian, 54-9 in the coaching debut there for Aberdeen Christian. Kind of a tough go, but, you know, it's early on in the season. I'm not pressing the panic button, but one thing to be sure is can't really win if you don't score.
Yeah, you score 9 points, it's going to be difficult to score, but when we talked to head coach T.J. Cobbs in the or A.J. Cobbs in the offseason, when he accepted the job, he said, hey, we're just trying to get a system in place and try to build a culture. It's going to take some time, but like you said, no need to hit the panic button yet.
Coach Cobbs, a fun visit with him this last summer here in studio. We'll get him on the program at some point in time here in the not-too-distant future as well. Fun guy. Northwestern downing Wilmot on the road, 62-34. Memory serves, Northwestern off to a good start, now 2-0. Ashley Haven with 24 points and 9 boards. Sophia Trosky also tripping in 16 there as well for Northwestern. As you take a look at the rebounding disparity, it was just that. It was a disparity. 51-16 in favor of Northwestern out there. Wow.
Yeah, I saw Northwestern last year late in the season, and they made a little run, if I'm not mistaken. They got all the way to the SODAC 16. A pretty young team. They got a majority of their team back. They're pretty big. And that seeing that rebounding stat surprised me a little bit. But that's a team in Class B. It's going to be a little sleeper team. They could maybe make a run at this thing. They're going to be pretty good this year.
By the way, Addison Heinze, she dropped in 50 last year in a game. She had 22 points there last night in the loss. It was Groton over Sisseton. You mentioned that, 48-45. Jerica Locke with 11. Game-high 25 points from Krista Longauger. Not enough there for the Lady Redmen.
Yeah, not enough, and I think they just got to get a little bit more contributions from their guard play. They had some great guards last year. You mentioned Hannah Lieberson last week playing there at Mankato. Now Emily Nielsen was a great player for them. They both graduated. So just some gals, you know, in different roles. They need to find a little bit more scoring outside of Krista. She's going to get her numbers. But I mentioned this when we were talked with Groton earlier this year that – this is a defensive team. They're going to keep teams in the 40s, and if they can score enough points, they're going to have a chance every night. They played some really solid defense there last night.
Kind of skipping around here a little bit. Hamlin would defeat Flandreau last night, 51-37. Addie Stephenson with 18 points. You also had Gabby Wald pour in 18 points as Ipswich defeats North Central, 49-39. Amory Vandervoorst had 20 in the loss there for the Thunder. Liz Boshi with 17 for Sanborn Central Woonsocket. They were all over Hitchcock Tulare, 61-28. And also, Annika Mueller has 13 as Falkton Downs Sunshine Bible, 46-25. On the boys' side last night, Mobridge Pollock defeats Aberdeen Roncalli, 56-43. Jesse Hernandez with a dozen. Not quite enough as the Tigers, they start up the season 1-0.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about being able to get a little bit more contributions offensively with Coach Gallagher. They took a big step last year, and you know they're coming off that nice win versus Redfield, but just not enough. It's going to be hard to win when you score 43 points in a game. It's just you got to play almost perfect defense for that to happen.
Especially in boys basketball.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Aberdeen Christian, good start for Coach Rohrbach. Stop me if you've heard that before. 67-35 victors last night over Warner on the road. Brooks Jett with 15 points. And you can see why some of the media folk are saying, hey, I think we got some expectations for Aberdeen Christian.
I got it. Ryan was doing that game. He texted me. He said, hey, this is a really good team. They could maybe make a run for the State B qualifier. And Brooks Jett, he had a slam last night. over Josiah Baum. He got a quick steal in the first quarter and a two-handed stuff. Pretty athletic play. That's a good, solid team. And Coach Rohrbach with a great start. Watch out for that Christian team.
Hasn't lost all year.
Yes.
1-0. So get your playoff tickets.
Yes.
Groton big over Sisseton, 73-41. Ryder Johnson, a game-high 22 there. Leola Frederick downs Oaks, North Dakota on the road. Weston Thorpe with a baker's dozen. He cooked Oaks in that one there. Dylan Rumsa drops in 15. Wabe Summit ekes out a win at Webster's Place, 45-44. So it's kind of like a girls' final score there a little bit, but you know what? It worked.
Ugly win, but you'll take it. A win's a win at the end of the day at Wabe Summit. They're a feisty team. Watch them over the years. Play really good defense. They just have a lot of contributions on both sides. I like that Wabe Summit team.
We've seen some early season classic matchups between DeSmet and Clark Willow Lake. Last night, no different. Clark Willow Lake beats them 62-54 in overtime. Sullivan Feldberg with 25 points and 10 boards. Grant Wilkinson in the loss, 25 points, 19 rebounds. You hate to, I don't want to use the word waste, but it kind of feels like you don't want to waste a performance like that.
Yeah, that's a big time performance. He's a big guy. He's tough to handle down low. And what that tells me is he's worked a lot on his offensive game. I feel like he was pretty raw just seeing him at the state tournament last year. But he's going to be a force to work with. And that Feldberg kid for Clark Willow Lake, his brother Kaplan, he was a microwave scorer when he was playing. So not surprised to see his little brother there putting up some points as well.
Couple more here quick. Like Ipswich defeating North Central last night, 53-43. Max Kulesa with 16 points in the win there. Jackson Holt chipping in 14, so combined 30 of the 53 between those two gentlemen there. And Hamlin big over Flandreau, 52-19. Easton Neuendorf with 22 points in the win. Again, don't have time to get to all of those final scores. Encourage you to check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details there. Also, college basketball from last night. You had St. Cloud taking on UMary. UMary defeats St. Cloud on the road, 73-55 there from Hallenbeck Hall. I'll call that a mild upset, certainly. And also on the guys' side, it was St. Cloud over Mary, 66-50. Again, check out our website for more details there. Upcoming next on the show, though, we'll talk with Eric Klein, one of the Northern State greats. He'll join us next on FSA. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, an Aberdonian will be joining us in studio as Morgan Fiedler. She'll be joining us talking some NSU women's hoops. But speaking of Aberdonians, we've got one on the phone line right now, one of the best to ever do it. Pride of Aberdeen Central High, and of course a former Northern State alum, works over there at NSU right now, as a matter of fact, calling from his office, nice cozy office. Eric Klein, he joins us on the phone line, and Mr. Klein, thanks for taking some time this morning. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Good to be with you.
Great to have you on, certainly, and we're kind of getting prepared for this conversation, this discussion here a little bit, this chat, and I sent Matt your biography, and he's just like, whoa. That's a lot there. There's a lot there for sure. And Hall of Fame this, Hall of Fame that, kind of filling up the points and everything else like that. We'll be honoring the early 1990s basketball squads this weekend over there at the campus of NSU. So, you know, this is a cool opportunity to have you on the program, and certainly appreciate you doing that. But of all of the accolades, I don't know if that's a great place to start, but, you know, of all of the accolades, what kind of means the most to you and your time at Northern State?
You know, it's a pretty easy answer because it's about family. It's about the teammates, the camaraderie, the sense of belonging. I mean, that really is what lasts and trumps any award. And the other thing that comes to mind is just how grateful I am for all the experiences, the friendships, and the support of my teammates. You know, you think about scoring points and being the Northern's all-time leading scorer, that does not happen without the trust of your teammates. And, you know, you watch a basketball game and you hope that maybe 50% of your shots go in, and you're pretty happy when that happens. And I missed a lot of shots. I got to take a lot of shots. And from the way we set the offense up to being able to come off screens and get a lot of good looks. And my teammates trusted me to shoot the ball, and they were always so encouraging. And that, to me, is what stands out. And it's not so much the awards. The awards and honors come from really that creating that sense of community and culture, family and belonging. That's what stands out to me.
When we talked about it during our first segment that you were coming on, Tukes mentioned that you wore the number 42. And I said, oh, maybe you're a James Worthy fan. Was there any significance behind wearing 42, or was it just the number?
You know, that's really a funny question, because I was able to, I got the privilege of playing as a freshman in high school. And so, you know, the upperclassmen, they get to pick their numbers a little bit earlier than those younger players. And that was just the next number that was available. So there was nothing magical about that number, other than I was one of the low man on the totem pole. And it was like, well, this number's left. I think I'll pick that. And it stuck for 8 years through high school and college.
Yeah, I was looking at the pictures online, and I was like, huh, 42. Wouldn't have guessed that. I would have guessed maybe like a 10 or maybe like a 14 or a 21.
23.
Yeah, absolutely. But 42, yeah, it served you well, and certainly did a lot of good things in that jersey for sure. Eric Klein joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Aberdonian native, certainly. So basketball, obviously numero uno. You've got all the accolades to go along with it. But why basketball? I always love asking this question. Were you another multi-sport athlete here in town as well, with football or baseball or anything else like that? Why did basketball ultimately prevail?
You know, I did run track and field and played some football in junior high. But basketball was one of those things where it started early on. I remember my brother playing, my dad helping with coaching my brother's teams, and I was just around the basketball area. I have a picture of me of, gosh, I must have been kindergarten or first grade, just in the backyard shooting hoops and playing some horse with my dad and brother. And so I enjoyed the game, and it became something that I just found something that I looked forward to doing. But there is a little bit more to the story in that what really got me involved in basketball was, you know, my father had a car accident, and it was the beginning of a change for our family. And it was an alcohol-related car accident when I was 9 years old. And it really was the beginning of a new life for our family. But it was at that time where I just really, in many ways, I see it now, escaped to the gym. And it just became my home away from home. And I met a guy there, Troy Warner, who was a Northern State University School of Education student working at the Y. And he took me under his wing. He showed me different workouts. He was a mentor to me and really a big brother to me. We're still friends today. And so grateful for the time he invested in me. And I can remember as young as 9 years old in the summer, getting on my bike and driving down to the YMCA and staying there all day and being intentional about working out. And I just got good at it. And I just enjoyed the discipline of it. I kept track of my shots. I put ladders up and shot over the ladders. It just really became, I think for me, it just became a safe place for me. And I'm real grateful for those years.
So it sounds kind of like you wanted to take your game to the next level at an early age. So you pretty much had goals of after high school and after playing, you know, through grade school and junior high, hey, I wanted to play college basketball.
You know, I tell you what, once I started to see that, oh, I'm having some success at this. This is something I'm pretty good at. And you get reinforced and validated in that. And then you start playing on some small traveling teams, and it becomes just a part of your life. And then I remember working out. It was in junior high. I would go over to the Y and play. My dad would go over to watch the Golden Eagles games, and Rapid City Stevens was in town. Eric Piatkowski was in town playing. And he was a freshman playing on the Rapid City Stevens team, and I thought to myself as I stood up in the balcony of the old Civic Arena, had my bag in my hand, and I looked on the court, and I said, I want to do that too. And I made it a goal to be able to play for the Golden Eagles as a freshman, and thankfully Terry Small gave me a chance to do that. That year we won the state championship, and then it just kept unfolding. Coach Olson was another great mentor to me as a young boy. He would take me on some of the road trips for the Northern Wolves games. And I remember watching Gene Lorenz and Todd Jordray and going to the old Civic Arena to watch those games. And it just became part of your life. And again, it's just the different, just the amazing people I met over the years and the opportunity then to go on to play college basketball. There's a little bit of a story, if we have time, I can share about why
I
ended up staying in South Dakota. Is that it was the summer of before my senior in high school. I got invited to the Nike camp out in Princeton, New Jersey. Supposedly, they invite the top 100 players in the country to go play. And so I go out there, of course, with a big head, thinking, this is pretty cool. And within 5 minutes of stepping on the floor during that first games we played there, I realized I was not going to be a Division I basketball player. I was going to stay in my home state. And as a matter of fact, the purpose of the camp was half the day you play, half the day to have people like Dick Vitale, Spike Lee. They have different people coming in to talk to you, giving you life advice. And they said, you know what, there's only going to be a few of you that make the NBA. Stay in your state, get an education, go make a difference in the world. And I knew right away, I said, I'm going to stay in South Dakota. I'm going to get my teaching degree, and I have no regrets. It's funny. On that court, there was Chris Webber and Jason Kidd, I remember, and Juwan Howard. And those guys were just amazing, their athleticism. And I just realized I'm out of my league. I am going to stay and play basketball in my home state.
That's amazing. I can't imagine what that would be like to be around those guys. And Dickie V was probably just like, stay in school, baby. I don't know.
Totally. That's exactly what it was like. You nailed it. You nailed it.
It all worked out. That's phenomenal. I can't imagine being around those guys and just being kind of like just wide-eyed. And it certainly worked out for you. We're in 42 the whole time. Eric Klein here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I feel like we could probably go on for about 2 hours with you, but it's only an hour show, and I know you're a busy guy over there, so just a couple more before we get you out of here. The teams from the 90s will be honored this weekend, and I know you mentioned just some of the great memories with those guys, just maybe bus rides and all those friendships. Outside of that, was there a couple of games or a couple moments in those seasons where things really kind of turned up for you guys to say, okay, you know, we've really got something here? And, you know, obviously you guys went all the way to the Final Four there. Can you just kind of talk about some of those early 1990s teams?
Yeah, you know, when I transitioned back from Augustana my freshman year in college to play at Northern, Coach Olson, I met with him, and he said, you know, we'd love to welcome you back, but you're going to have to earn a spot just like everybody else. And so I was able to go in and become part of the team, and we really just found chemistry, that community I talked about, that family atmosphere. We believed in each other, supported each other, and that year of 1992, I believe, we went 34-2 and made it all the way to the national championship at Napa, Idaho, and just fell short. But that really just was, to me, a very special year, because it just, you know, you're coming off, gosh, am I even going to play college basketball again? Do I really want to continue in this? Taking the chance to, you know, come back, talk to Coach Olson. That year just was so special to me, because it really reinforced why this game is so special and why the community of Aberdeen is so special, and seeing all of the support, the fans, the people, the joy. It was just super fun.
That 34-2 year in particular, when did you know that, hey, this could be a really special year? Was there a moment that you remember during that year that was like, hey, we really got something special?
To me, it was more towards the end of the year. You kind of look back and you realize, wait a minute, we're just rolling here. We're knocking teams off. We're playing consistently. We're playing well. We're scoring a lot of points. Of course, with Coach Olson at that time, ran more of a motion offense. It was in the 90s, it was more of a fast break philosophy. So we came off the fast break offense, went right into motion, got shots up quick, scoring 80 to 90 points in games. It was just a super fun style of game. But at the end of that season, it's like, wait a minute, this is pretty cool. I mean, we're doing something very special. And it for me, it didn't quite set in until at the end, as we start going into those playoffs and make our way to the national tournament.
Well, I got to tell you, because I'm calling a game earlier on this year, as Eric Klein joins us on FSA, James Glenn is in an absolute zone. He hits 8 threes in a game, and I'm thinking to myself, he's got to be getting kind of close to a record here. So I quickly open up the record book, and I'm flushing through the papers. Oh, here we go, 11. Eric Klein. Yeah, that checks out. That tracks. Can you recall the 11 three-point game that you had there? What was that like? And can you kind of describe the zone to somebody that is not a basketball player that was worth any good?
Yeah, I really don't have a lot. Interesting enough, I don't have a ton of memories of actual games themselves. But when you talk about entering into that zone or that flow, there is something that happens within your, it's almost like a biochemical movement within your body where you just feel so connected to the ball, the rim. It's like all those years of getting on that bicycle and going down to the YMCA, the shots over the ladders, all of the discipline over the years, it just all clicks and comes together. It's a very magical experience and feeling, and you really realize you're in a different place during those times, because like I said, I missed a lot of shots. And then you go on those streaks where it's like it flows just like a river, and it just feels it feels pretty sweet.
Hey, you shot a lot of threes in your career. I'm looking at your stats here, 1,089 for your career. You shot at a 42% clip. That was kind of unheard of, right, in the early 90s. Was that a big part of the game? I know it's huge now. Everybody wants to shoot threes every time they come down the court, but in the early 90s, it was more of a inside out type of game, so it was kind of unorthodox, right?
Yeah, it really was, and the three-point line came into play there, and with this fast break motion offense, it lended itself quite well to the speed at which we played, to be able to shoot from the perimeter. And then the way we set up our motion offense to come off of screens and get shots off quickly, that was so helpful. But then you've got your big guys inside that you can also mix it up there. It's almost like football. You got to have a mix of running and passing. And then with basketball too, you've got to have that mix of inside out. And we just had a nice combination of athletes that allowed us to do that well.
Final one before I get you out of here. I know you're a little bit limited on time, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, what was it like playing for Coach Olson, and how cool was it being on the road with the team while you're in high school? I can't recall seeing that very often. Maybe it happens across the country nowadays, I don't know. But, you know, a high school player going on the road with a college team, that's a pretty cool deal.
You know, it's just very special to me, a special relationship with Coach Small in high school and Coach Olson in college. The way they ran their summer camps and their leagues, we really got to know each other and know the motion offense and the philosophy behind it. And it's just, to me, they're mentors to me. They're father figures to me in a way that I just really appreciated the kindness and the care they showed to me. And, you know, when you're an athlete that, you know, you look up to your coaches and you're willing to just put everything into it just to, you know, make that coach proud. And I'm just so grateful, so, so grateful for those experiences, being able to put that uniform on and represent Northern, represent Aberdeen, the state of South Dakota, both in college and high school. It means a lot to me.
Well, you're grateful for that. We're grateful for you for joining us on the program here today. Appreciate you taking some time out of your very busy schedule, and congratulations on an incredible career. I hope we can do this again at some point in time in the not-too-distant future, because I feel like we could go on for a while, but we'll let you go. Appreciate you doing this, and thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Take care.
All right. Likewise to you. Eric Klein here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I really feel like we could go for a long, long time with him. And
for sure.
I tell you what, the numbers speak for themselves. 3,062 career points. That's a South Dakota collegiate basketball record, the 11 threes in a game. I was expecting him to kind of say, oh, yeah, I'm like, first time I got the ball in my hand, it was on that right wing. It's interesting to me that he doesn't have, like, a great recollection of those games. And I think a lot of athletes out there, they just remember the stories, the bus rides, the friendships, the family. It's not specific games. I've always thought that's kind of curious and interesting.
Yeah, he doesn't remember the actual – I mean, he remembers, obviously, that he hit 11 threes, but the moments of the game, he doesn't remember. And like you said, he remembers more – the camaraderie with the guys, the chemistry they had, bus rides like you mentioned. And, you know, I'm going through this bio here, and the craziest stat to me is he only played in 36 NSIC games in his career, and he's 12th all-time in scoring. Imagine if he played more NSIC games. He averaged 27.7 points per game in the conference. That's wild.
Can you imagine if he had a COVID year of eligibility? The numbers, man. I mean, he'd be rewriting the record books for sure.
36 games, 12th all time. Wow.
Yeah, and it's in an era, and I think you hit the nail on the head, it's in an era where the three-point shot wasn't as prevalent as it is nowadays. Can you imagine him playing for Saul Phillips nowadays on that team last year that was shooting threes left and right?
Yeah, especially with the two-man game and having a shooter where you're just setting screens for and getting him open. Oh, he would have been amazing at that.
42% from beyond the curve. That's some pretty, really, pretty good numbers.
Yeah, over 2,000 points of his 3,000, 62 are from three-point land.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Which, by the way, is 3,062 career points more than you and I both have combined.
Yes.
Kind of a cool deal. Kind of a cool stat.
Yeah, that's the best stat of them all.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. All right, upcoming next, Morgan Fiedler joins us, I think. Is she out there?
Yeah, she's out there.
She's out there. Okay, I shot her a text message, and I said, let me know when you roll in. I didn't hear anything back, so I was like... Rocking and rolling on the Sports Hub on FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. And online at HubCityRadio.com. Our thanks to Eric Klein for joining us earlier on in the show. Right now we bring in the junior guard from, you guessed it, right here in the Hub City, from Aberdeen Ron Colley High, Morgan Fiedler, joining us in studio. Good morning, Morgan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Just living the dream, you know? Got my coffee over here. Got my buddy over there. You're in studio.
Exactly.
All things
I'm
are...
I'm here, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you just made the show infinitely better. But, no, appreciate you popping in here. Is it weird that you're already an upperclassman? Does that kind of sound strange to you already?
It's really weird. I still feel like I'm a freshman, and I tell the freshmen that. And they're like, yeah, I feel like you're the same age as me. And I'm like, thank you. That validates my feelings.
Works out well for you.
Yeah, start of the season here. I mean, junior year, you were an underclassman the first 2 years, and now upperclassman. How's that kind of feel like?
I mean, it's a different feeling because I feel like when I was a freshman and a sophomore, I could kind of just sit back and in a leadership role and let the older girls take that. But I feel like now I have to step into the shoes of being a leader and recognizing that the younger girls are maybe looking up to me and the way that I respond in the court and how much effort I give. So I've kind of really been focusing on like how I'm being a leader and how I'm carrying myself on the floor more and more every day.
So what does that look like to you? How do you carry yourself? I feel like you're, I don't want to use the word quiet, but you kind of lead by example.
Yes.
A little bit more. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's very fair to say. I'm definitely not extremely vocal. I don't show a lot of emotions on the floor. I mean, I'm vocal in a positive manner by cheering on my teammates, but I try to lead by example, working hard every day, showing up to practice every day with a positive attitude, and acting like I want to be there. That's kind of how I am.
Yeah, just watching you play the last couple of years, the thing that stands out to me is your hustle plays, the 50-50 balls, and it just seems like you have an act for the ball. Where's that kind of come from?
I would definitely say from high school, just that's kind of how the team that we were in high school. It was either you're getting on the floor or you're sitting on the bench next to me. So I'd say that's where it comes from.
Yeah, totally. As Morgan Fiedler joins us in studio on FSA, and we talked about that during our Pack Chat segment last year, was playing for Derek Larson and what he did for your confidence. And you said, you know, your confidence was kind of low, and then Coach Larson really kind of built you up. Can you kind of talk about him and what he means for you and the player that you've kind of turned into be?
Yeah. Like I've said before, he's, like, my favorite coach. If I could still be playing under him, I would. I love Paula. Like, she's also a great coach, but like if I could have them together, that would be the dream team for me. But yeah, he definitely boosted my confidence, because when I was a freshman and a sophomore, I didn't expect to be playing with the varsity girls. So when he told me, you have the ability to be playing with these girls, you have the talent just like them, I was like, you know what, I do. And he boosted my confidence in that manner.
So do you still kind of stay up to date with what Ron Colley basketball has been doing now that you're, you know, playing college? I know it's, you got a busier schedule, but do you kind of check on and see how they're doing?
I do, yeah. I actually will probably get to a game here over Christmas break. It's usually when me and my friends will go. But also, just like Ava Hansen, she still plays there, and she's coming to Northern next year, so that's super exciting and another reason to stay in contact with them.
Morgan Fiedler here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're going to talk a lot about this season and the start that you guys are off to. I do want to go back to last year for just a couple of questions here. I would be remiss. I think we had you, I can't recall if we had you on the air for the Hub or just during Pack Chat about the shot against Duluth.
Yeah.
I mean, you win the ball game in overtime, 81-70, if memory serves, but an 11-0 overtime run doesn't happen unless you hit the three at the buzzer.
Right.
Can you walk us through the play? I know that feels like forever ago.
Yeah.
But that moment for you and that game in general. I think it was during I Hate Winter, yeah, too, if memory serves.
Yes, it was. I actually was like listening to you guys talking in here before I came in, and it was about how you don't really remember like the shot. You know that you made 11 threes. I didn't make 11 threes, but
neither have we.
Yeah, you remember the moment. I just remember the moment of my teammates embracing me. Like, that's what I remember the most. I don't remember, like, the shot going in the net. I just remember my teammates and how excited they were for me, and that was, like, such a great feeling.
And it's funny you bring that up, because every time we talk to Coach Krueger, she talks about that, like, how it's not just one individual. It's everybody celebrating 100%. Somebody's game-winning shot, like with Bragg's shot earlier this year on the pass from Rio. I mean, just – she made the shot, and everybody kind of dogpiled her.
Right, yeah. It's a great feeling, and I just remember Maddie when she came up to me after I made that shot. She goes, you are so, not the best word to say on air, clutch. And I was like, I will always remember that, because she just what she said to me, that's what you're going to remember.
Yeah, no doubt. And it didn't work out this year, but playing Moorhead down the stretch in that game, I kept on saying, this just kind of feels like a Morgan Fiedler game. And honestly, it all worked out. I know we didn't score as many points as the opposition, but, you know, you hit some crucial shots down the stretch in that game. Hit a three from the top of the key from like 25 feet out, it felt like. But just making some crucial plays and talking with other coaches within the conference, they say, they mentioned Madeline Bragg and Rio and everybody else. And they say, yeah, but, you know, the one that's kind of the quiet one is Morgan Fiedler. We really need to figure out how to slow her down. What does that mean to you?
Honestly, I take that role with pride. Like, I want to be that player. When Rio and Maddie get in foul trouble, I know that's when I need to step up and score, because maybe when they're not in foul trouble, we want to get them the ball. They're our main players. But just understanding that my role is maybe different than theirs, and stepping into that scoring role when they aren't getting the points that they need to be getting, and just understanding that that's who I am and that's who I'm going to be, and that can't change.
So you've been playing with Madeline Bragg now for a while.
Yes.
I mean, you played with her in high school, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're playing, you know, college together. That's kind of cool, right? Being able to play with, you know, somebody that you kind of grew up with.
Yes. That's definitely one of my greatest blessings. We do get in some bigger arguments sometimes, because we're literally like sisters, so there'll be some snappy things said to each other on the floor, but like once we walk off the floor, all those things are forgotten. Like, we never hold grudges against each other, and we know each other in the style of play that we play so well that I know how to get her the ball, she knows how to get me the ball, and it's a blessing.
Not like pulling each other's hair or anything like that, are you?
No, just bigger words back and forth.
Gotcha. Totally makes sense. My brothers and I were always punching each other in the face. A lot of love. And now we got Christmas coming up next week. That could be interesting. Morgan Fiedler here in studio on FSA. So 5-5 start. Yeah. You guys are absolutely the hunted this season. Mm-hmm. And I said the other day that you could make a legit case that you could be 4-0 in conference.
Yeah.
Or you could be 1-3. I mean, all of these games, with the exception of the Bemidji game, have come down to the wire. What's it like knowing that every single game in this conference is coming down to the fourth quarter?
It's intimidating, and you know that you have to show up for every game. You can't just walk in and be like, this is a breeze, like, we're going to win this. There's not a single game that's like that. I think that the NSIC is probably one of the best conferences. in D2 basketball, and honestly, it's a blessing to be in this conference because I wouldn't want to be playing against any like less hard competition than we are. I love the competition that we get to play against, and I hate like saying 5-5 because I feel like that makes us look like we're not as good as we could be. So I've like just tried letting the girls know that our identity is not in our record right now. We can be so much better. We still have the chance to be a conference championship team. Being 5-5 does not define us as a team.
Kind of to piggyback off of Tukes's point, last year you were the hunter because you were the preseason number 10. This year you were the preseason number 2. What do you think the big difference is from maybe being the hunter to being the hunted? Is it just, hey, we're going to get everybody's best game every time out? Is that the big thing that you see, kind of?
100%. I think that we've genuinely gotten every single team's best game because every single time we get in the locker room and it's like, why does it seem like every single team shoots their best against us? And it's just like, honestly, we have to expect that now. We can't just be like, oh, yeah, like that girl's not a shooter. She's going to be a shooter in our game. So the difference between that would just be showing up for every game and knowing that we're going to get that team's best. So we have to be at our best.
A couple more here with Morgan Fiedler on FSA. Now, the foul situation has gone against you guys a couple times this season. Sometimes they're good calls, sometimes they're not.
It's been pretty bogus.
Yeah, well.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that's the way it goes. That's basketball. That's sports. You're not going to get every call. Yeah. And if you did, then you'd probably have to check the betting lines or something like that. I don't think there's betting lines on D2 basketball, and if there is, that's a problem.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing with your life? But my thing is this. How do you avoid that stuff? You know, you can't get wrapped up in the officials, good, bad, or indifferent. How do you just kind of focus on your style, your game, being who Northern State wants to be?
It's easy to react to refs because they're usually giving you the call that you don't want to hear. But something that I've said and that our team has said is just control the controllables. And the refs are not something that we can control. So whatever call they give us, we just have to go with it and keep playing and do what we know how to do and do what we can do best. And whether that affects girls being on the floor or not, we just have to play our game and do what we can do.
So we had Rio on last week, and we asked about the Hawaii trip, and she thought it was great. How about for you? Did you enjoy yourself there?
Hawaii was amazing. I've told so many people that it's honestly one of my favorite places I've ever been, and I told my parents, I was like, I want to move there after college is over just for a year. Like, it'd be so amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, come back a couple of shades darker.
Yeah.
I'm still this exact same pale guy.
No, you would turn red.
Yeah, I would be probably as red as your sweatshirt there a little bit.
No, yeah, I got really burnt too. I don't tan very well, so I'm right along there with you.
Yeah, nor do I. So what was the highlight? What was the highlight or a couple of the highlights of the trip out there, west?
I would just say, like, being on the beach. The water is literally crystal clear. And I've been to Mexico before, and that's not how the water was in Mexico. Maybe it's just, like, where we were along the coast. But in Hawaii, the water was perfectly clear. Like, we were surfing. Probably shouldn't have been, but we were a couple days before the game. Or just, like, the boat ride that we got to go on for sunset. That was so beautiful.
Do you have that guy from Sarah Marshall or forgetting Sarah Marshall to tell you, like, what to do? It's like, yeah, you gotta do more than that. You
know, right,
you're just
right.
Boogie boarding. Do you know what I'm talking about or no?
No, I don't, but...
Ah, dang.
That's a great movie.
That's a great quote. I'll play it to you off the air.
Okay.
But Peter in the movie is taking taking a lesson for... for not boogie boarding, but surfing.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, let me show you how to do it and this and that. And he's just like, you got to do more than that. Just pop it up. Just pop it up.
Yeah.
Then he does it the right way. And he's like, nah, that's not it at all. And, I'm not exactly describing it the best way. But final one before I get you out of here. Back at home this weekend, we're talking off the air how jacked you are just to be back at home, sleep in your own bed. Right. How nice is it playing home games there at the Barnett Center and your kind of expectations and goals for the weekend?
Playing at the Barnett Center is, like, the best place you could ever play because we draw in more fans than I think anybody in the NSIC. So just being supported by your community is one of the greatest feelings. Sometimes I think that can bring a little bit more of an added pressure because you feel like you have to play a little bit better to prove to these people that we are a good team. But just reminding each other that don't let home games bring that added pressure because – it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. We just have to play our game. But this weekend, we're expecting to get a sweep. So 2-0, that's our goal, because we haven't had a sweep since we were in Rapid City playing Black Hills and Mines, and we want to get one of those sweeps this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know the other oppositions would say not so fast, but we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. And looking forward to this weekend at home. Appreciate you popping in studio, and happy finals week. I know you're all done.
Yes.
Christmas plans? You got anything planned for Christmas? What's on your wish list?
My wish list? I don't know. I just want to spend time with family, be with my family, and relax. That's what I'm looking forward to most.
What a lame response.
No, a lot of girls are going all the way home, but my home is here, so.
Yeah, no, I'm going back to see my family in Wisconsin there a little bit, so family time, that's the biggest thing for sure. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas to you, too.
All right, thanks so much. Morgan Fiedler here in studio on FSA. We'll wrap up this Wednesday installment of The Hub after this. We're wrapping up this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA. A couple of really great guests, one on the phone line, one in studio, Eric Klein and Morgan Fiedler. Good show today, huh? A couple of great guests.
Yeah, great show. And encourage you, if you missed any portion of it, check it out, hubcityradio.com. Click on the Sports tab, and, of course, with the Facebook page there, you can watch the episode. But awesome show.
Really a lot of fun for sure. And we've got ourselves a loaded sports broadcasting schedule here this week. Like Matt said, encourage you to check out hubcityradio.com. Click on the sports tab. Game schedule there. We've got rural games coming up this week. Aberdeen Central is back at home. The ladies are back at home this upcoming weekend. The Northern State squads are at home this weekend. The Wings are actually, ironically enough, on the road. But we've got a little bit of something for everyone out there. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, and the game schedule there. And, of course, the Sports Hub, which will be posted following the show here today, which officially is now done. We're back at it tomorrow in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen.